Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Frenzer Form and Animation Forum.
Yeah!
This is episode two. Episode number two.
Two.
Our big second episode.
It's huge.
It's our terrible twos.
My name is Joel Frenzer.
I'm Alan Foreman.
And we are the official, unofficial, official podcast of the Animation World Network.
AWN.com.
You can also check us out on FFAF.com.
Yes.
So, very exciting show.
Very exciting show today. I'm psyched about our guest.
Yes. We have on today Mr. Andy London, animation extraordinaire.
Yes.
And also, Alan, I thought we might give everyone a bit of a treat. What do you say?
I think that's a good idea.
Now, every episode, obviously, is a treat.
Yeah.
How could it not be?
I don't know.
I mean, it's a treat for me to even be here doing it.
It's a treat for me to have you here.
Thanks.
It's nice to see you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're looking good.
Thank you.
Anything special that you did over the week?
Let's see. Did I do anything special over the week? Well, maybe we could talk a little bit about what we did late last night. Pizza party.
Pizza party.
We had a pizza party.
It's always a party if there's a pizza.
Yeah.
That's what Alan always says during the pizza party.
We didn't actually have any pizza.
There's no pizza there, but it still felt festive.
It felt like a pizza party.
Yeah. I had a beer.
Yeah.
And some snacks.
Yeah.
And these were pretty interesting snacks.
Yeah.
They were pretty healthy.
They were.
They were gluten-free.
Gluten-free.
Soy pretzels.
Yeah, they were disgusting.
The first bite.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong on this.
Okay.
Tasted a bit like a cat treat.
It did. Yeah. One of our friends who was at this pizza party described it as dog food for people.
Dog food for people.
And that's kind of what it tasted like.
In a way, it's kind of nice because it's a good way of having pets and people share something.
Yeah, have a common experience.
It's better, I would say, than sharing something like a tennis ball with your German Shepherd.
Yeah, much better than that because those, I mean...
Especially a German Shepherd with a saliva problem.
Right, right.
Speaking of sharing.
Yes.
Today we're going to share a lot of information about animation.
Yeah.
Because this is a forum for that thing.
And what it's like to live in that world.
To be in that world.
Yeah.
So we should bring on Andy London.
Let's do it.
Computer.
Summon him.
Summon him, computer.
Bring him in here.
Bring him in. Do your job. Hello, Sorry. Andy Hello. London.
Hi.
Welcome to our podcast.
Thank you for having me.
We are very excited to have you here today. We would like to know about you. Things about what you do. Why don't you tell us a brief synopsis of who you are and why you are.
Who I am and why I am. Okay. I live with my wife in Harlem on 126 in St. Nicholas. I've been there for about 12 years. I teach animation at Pratt and at a school in Philadelphia called UArts. And I also am working on a graphic novel, and I've made a bunch of films with my wife. We've been making films together for about 11 years. And what else can I say? I grew up in Long Island. I went to Pratt in the 80s. I met my wife in Prague in 1995, and what else can I say about myself? I'm not sure.
Well, I can say something about you.
Go for it.
I love the work.
Oh, thank you.
Of you and your wife, and you've made some very provocative, edgy, rock and roll, in your face films. You've also made some films that are about you. Related to you, your stories of growing up, interesting quirks and things like that. Can you tell us a little bit about using your own life as inspiration for your independent animation work?
Sure. I like to make stuff about what I know, and I know myself, I know my family, so I tend to do a lot of work that is about myself and my family and my friends. I also do it, I think, for therapy, because it's whenever I make a film... I usually try to go through something, and I like Yeah, I really, really enjoy making stuff about me. I don't think I'm narcissistic. Maybe I am. I don't know. But I just, yeah, I just have lots of fucked up things that happen to me. And I think everyone does. And I think it's really fun to make films about that.
One, Alan.
Yeah.
One thing that intrigues me about Andy. I don't know why I'm talking to him about him as if he's not here.
I'm right here.
Hi. Oh, yeah. I can talk to him. Yeah.
You have made a lot of animation.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're making a graphic novel.
Yeah.
So maybe tell us what the graphic novel is and more about that. Sure. But also why you're making it.
My whole graphic novel is about my parents and my sister. And they know I'm working on a graphic novel. And they're very excited to see it because they don't think animation is real art. They think writing books is real art and making comics is real art. I don't know why. And making paintings. And they think it's very... So they're really looking forward to seeing it. But my first story is called My Sister's Loser Boyfriends, and I don't think they're going to like it very much. I chronicle my sister's boyfriends from 1986 until she got married a year ago. And what makes it even worse is she's mildly retarded and handicapped, and her boyfriends are similar. And I guess it's not really good material to make fun of, but I can't help it. And this is the first time since probably the early 90s that I'm really writing on a daily basis, and I'm coming up with new material. And it's not really new material. It's material I've been telling my classes and telling my friends for years. And it's just so much fun not to worry about animating and just getting right to the storytelling aspect. And the book is called Eager to Please. And it's about our, I guess, my family's strong need to please everybody. It's like the sick, fucked up thing that we all do. And and every story in some way or another connects to that. I mean... I'll give you a good example. My mother hired a house cleaner when I was a kid because my sister was very sick and they were both working and I was in school and they needed help. They didn't have a lot of money. They were really in debt. And the first week the house cleaner came, she did a wonderful job. She would scrub and do everything she's supposed to do. And then the following week, my mother would help her and they would both be cleaning and they became a cleaning team. And then like a month later, it was my mother on the ladder cleaning, and the maid would be telling my mother what to clean. And then about a month after that, my mother would get that lady a job in a better, and she wouldn't clean anymore, and my mother would get somebody else.
And start the cycle all over again.
And that's just, that's our family, Yeah, and the whole book is basically stuff like that.
And have you felt that the skills of animation are helping now with your writing?
Because, very much, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, talk
very
a little much bit about so. That.
Mm-hmm. I think when I first got out of school, I was a painting major at Pratt, and I didn't know much about visual storytelling at all. I did, but I didn't really know it well enough to do it myself. And I've always liked to write stories, but after 10 years of animating and teaching animation, I think my visual vocabulary is a lot stronger, and it's so much easier now to translate that into a graphic novel. But they are very different because one is about time and one isn't, but it's the basic same premise of communicating an idea visually in the most compact, concise way that's well designed. And that's really, I guess, where my animation background really helps me a lot. And actually it's kind of a relief because it's like when you I hate baseball, but when I used to play baseball as a kid, you would practice with by swinging like five bats at the same time until you had like a hernia, and then you would swing that one bat, and it made it much easier. I think 10 years of animating now, just doing one single picture is such a pleasure compared to doing 20 of the same picture to make it move. And I think I'll never do that again. Actually, I'll hire people. And
But they both have something in common as far as sequential storytelling.
Yes, they do.
Even though one's time based and one's not.
Yeah.
Are you finding that the procedure for making your graphic novel, your setup, what it requires of space and things like that, to be a welcome departure from perhaps an animated setup?
Yeah, I can't stand animating anymore. I don't know. I think the reason is because I was confined to a Wacom tablet and a screen, or I was confined to a lunchbox, a TV monitor, and some cables. I was always a camera, whatever it is. The only freeing animated film I ever did was Lost Tribes in New York City, where I shot street furniture, pixelation style. And that was really fun to get that because I was not in the studio and I would just walk around with a tripod and a remote and just shoot anything. It was great. But other than that, I really can't stand animating because of the setup. And doing a graphic novel is so much fun because I basically get big sheets of paper, I get some really heavy-duty pencils and some charcoal, and I just make a big mess, and I'm just covered from head to toe in graphite and charcoal, and I look like I'm a drug dealer when I'm done. And I really, really like that a lot. And it's so nice. And of course, my wife is a little, she kind of keeps me in a certain room because I keep on ruining everything. But it's really, really fun to get back to that. I feel like I'm back in art school where I don't care about what a mess I make. And I feel like with a computer, it's very hard to get loose and free when you're working with a Wacom tablet. It's just not the same experience. Even though I've tried Cintiqs and all that kind of stuff and I can use them, I just really love. There's nothing more fun than getting brushes and ink and pencils and charcoal and just making a mess. And the only part of the computer I'm using now is a scanner at the very end. And even that's been fun because I have to scan little sections of it. And I've been doing that at Kinko's.
Do you think that if you were directing something and you had a team of people, that you would, and you're making an animated short or feature, you would also want to have the technique be like that for them so that they might feel that?
Yes, again? I would want them to do this hand-drawn as much as possible. I mean, it could be puppeted, this film, but I think it would look a lot better if it were hand-drawn. I have to figure out a process that would work that way. Ideally, would be giving them, they would have people that would pencil everything, do pencil tests, and then they would have to be inked over with brush and ink. And that's where I would need a lot of space and some kind of system, probably like a printmaking rack where the drawings could dry. So,
have you seen Persepolis?
Yeah, I have.
How did you feel the translation between the graphic novel and the film?
I liked it, but I love the graphic novel. It's one of my favorite books. It's a big inspiration to me. I liked the film. I don't think it was as successful because it just didn't have that. It kind of lost her style. I did really enjoy it. If I didn't read the book, I would probably love the movie. I really, out of all those kind of films, I loved American Splendor because Splendor really took it further. It didn't just try to translate a graphic novel. It made it a documentary. It made it live action. It didn't care. It just did whatever it had to do to get the best result.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Andy.
Yeah?
I think it's a good time to play a little game we like to call Radio Boggle. Cue the theme music. Go.
Yeah. Dude, all right. So.
Okay. Now, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Have you played Boggle before? Do you know this game?
Yeah, when I was like 11, so I forgot how it works.
Perfect. Boggle is a game that has a grid, and there are cubes that will be placed inside this grid. And Alan, you can show them. We have the Boggle board there.
And you shake it.
The letters will go into this grid, and you will try to make words from the letters, okay?
The letters of the word have to connect.
They have to connect.
But they can be diagonal or backwards or forwards whatever.
Can they be snaky?
They can be snaky, but you can't, like, go back on to those letters to get to other letters. It has to go in a,
does
that make sense? In a particular line.
Not like a figure eight snake.
Okay. Right, yeah.
Or a pile of spaghetti.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't
not
do
spaghetti
no,
wise.
It's not, this is Boggle.
And what's the goal of it? I forgot.
Okay, so the goal... Good question, Andy.
Very good
London.
Question.
The goal is to make as many words as you can from this in a given amount of time. I will be the timekeeper. I will let you know when you can start, and you will just go and make as many words as possible. When you're done, I'm also the scorekeeper. I will look at all of your words. I will tally their worth and give you your score. And whoever has the highest score wins. It's exactly the opposite of golf.
What do we win?
You win. Well, here's the thing.
I have prizes here, but
a tampon?
If you...
No.
Before we go into the prizes, I would say the biggest prize you can win is to beat Alan, because
that's true.
And I know this is the first time maybe that people are experiencing Radio Boggle on our show. Alan is a Boggle genius. They call him the Einstein of letter cubes.
They do.
Okay.
Organizing letter cubes.
But I'm very materialistic. I still want something.
Okay, okay. But the thing is, the thing is, being to beat Alan,
I don't care.
Is so big. Right. It's going to lead to success in every field. But let's go over the other material prizes.
It'll improve my professional
every aspect of your life will be improved. That can really be some exponentially. Alan, what are some of
a camp counselor? So that would be great.
We have two consolation prizes, depending on how if he is to beat me,
which would be unlikely, almost like the
unfathomable
sun being swallowed by the sun.
Exactly, because I'm illiterate. So, but yeah,
but there are two consolation prizes. There's a coin, 2 francs. It's good for use in any country called France.
That doesn't use it anymore.
That doesn't use francs anymore. And there is a small plastic lion with which you could make up all sorts of little safari scenarios. And
I want the lion.
That'll be dependent on if you beat me.
There's a lot of ifs.
If you beat me by how much.
But how about I would like a portable hard drive. Can I get a portable
I'm afraid we're fresh out of portable hard drive.
It's not simply things you see in front of you that are potential prizes.
How about a Pro Tools station?
It's not anything in my room. It's anything.
How about one of your girlfriend's paintings?
That would be a great prize. You
know, that would be a great prize.
Okay. Right. Are we ready? Are you guys ready?
I'm ready. I'm always ready.
Okay. Let me just. I'm going to push the button that will start the shaking, and then I'll push the other button that will stop the shaking. Pressing the first button. Now shake. I see the letters. It's a blur. It's crazy. It's like weird Wizard of Oz twister. And I'm pushing the button to stop it and stop. The lid is now being raised by a robotic arm. You guys
first?
Don't lean in yet. Don't lean in yet. Don't lean in yet. Close your eyes. Your eyes should be closed. Why are they open?
Can we use different languages?
Keep it to whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna set the timer.
Any language that's in the standard Oxford English Dictionary.
But
which is
not
English?
Yes.
Yes. And timer gong starts now. And there it is.
Oh, I have to
write them down. Go.
Yeah. Oh, motherfucker.
Go.
Okay.
Alan, you can barely see his pen. It's just going down. Almost like I don't know if it's making contact with the actual page. Andy is thinking. He's trying to find something clever, but the more he tries to find something clever, the more he's trying to find
it's
just
all consonants.
A word.
It's like one vowel in that fucking thing. Come on.
Andy is feeling a little bit nervous. Alan,
I'm not feeling
nervous.
Oh my
god. I think Andy is sweating Alan's sweat because Alan is so calm, he has no moisture left.
I found one, okay? So shut up.
So Alan has at least 50. But Andy is maybe writing a second one, and it's getting to be a good mind game right now. For Alan, it's just like he's drinking water. I see we're coming up around. The timer is coming down to the last few ticks.
No, come
3, 2, and gong.
Oh, wow.
Pencils down. Or pens.
Damn it.
Pens. Okay.
That was a good one. That was a really good one.
How'd that feel, Alan?
Tough board. But it felt really good. Felt really good.
And you, Andy, how'd that feel?
I got terrible. I got...
Okay. Wait. Don't reveal yet. This is big. Okay. Now, we are going to reveal. All
right.
I'm going to have Andy go first.
Okay.
Andy, please tell us the words that you have come up with.
I have no, and I have on.
Now, is it K-N-O-W? Or
no, I have N-O.
Okay.
O-N.
Okay, so no and on.
I have though, but I don't think
that's pretty good.
Word, but...
I didn't get those words. That's pretty good.
Alan, you didn't see
those? Yeah, I didn't see them at all. I don't know what happened.
Interesting.
I froze up a little there.
Let me just tally up the points. Hold on
a
second.
Tally them up.
All right. Ow. Okay.
Oh. A little upset that I didn't see those two.
Okay. I've plugged it into the formula, and Andy has 18 points.
Pretty good.
18
pretty
points. Cool. Okay, cool. Yeah. 18. Now remember that, Andy. You have 18.
I'll write that down. 18.
Write it down.
Oh, wait. You just wrote it down? Yeah. I'm going to give you an extra point for writing it down.
Whoa,
thank
what?
You. That's
I
very
got
nice. 19. You have 19
ah,
points.
Fuck you. Oh.
Yeah.
Jesus.
You don't get an extra point for 19, though. Okay, Alan.
Wow. All right. Yeah. Should I read my list?
Please do.
All right.
No,
Alan's list.
A list.
I got hun, sog, hog, hose, fog, rod, for, short, lord, gosh, star,
how'd
stars,
you get Lord?
Tar, Jars, Hyperbolic, Systematic, Easy. Charlatan, Factory, Common. Blitzkrieg, yeah. Platter, Plate, Alternate, Electrolocution, Spatula, Goggle, Nautilus, Spectrum, Sanitarium, Ooh. And Jet Propulsion Laboratory.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mean you can go in a different order?
No, you didn't see. You just have to look and see the words. You just have to.
They're right there.
Everyone has a fair advantage in terms of observation. Yeah. Alan doesn't in terms of genius.
Do you like see three dimensionally? Like you see underneath the table or something?
Yeah.
Like
I see side four of the cube? Dimensionally.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Now,
I think you cheated.
Well, I am from Kentucky.
It's true. I'm looking at Alan's list and I'm plugging into the computer. Okay.
Come on,
I'm going to turn
money.
This knob. All right.
Big
let me just
money.
Check the UV meter and it's printing out the ticket. And Alan, you had, it says here, you have 435 words.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, and it's now calculating the score, and I see 7.
What?
The score says 7, so you get 7.
7 points.
7 points.
I lost?
You lost.
Jesus.
Andy, oh my God, the computer's never done this before. It is claiming you... The winner of Good. Radio Boggle, Andy London. Yeah. Andy London.
Get me a beer.
It's fucking bullshit.
Wow.
I quit.
Wow. Wait.
I'm out of here.
Give me one of your girlfriend's
it's
paintings.
Bullshit.
How'd it go? I want one of the paintings, please.
Andy, this has never happened before. I think Alan's
I don't know how to use Pro Tools. So
he's really upset. I think that maybe we should make him feel better if he comes back in.
You can win out.
Alan,
okay.
No, it's okay. I'm sorry. I apologize.
All right, it's fine.
I'm really unprofessional. I just haven't lost Boggle before.
Alan.
Ever. Yeah.
Andy and I, we didn't really discuss this.
We should buy him a massage.
I know.
This nice massage place in Koreatown.
We didn't
really
massage. Yeah.
Andy gave me this look. It was like he needs a massage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He needs a small lion.
I don't want a massage. You can give it to Alan. I don't want a massage.
The computer says that Alan wins the small lion.
I just
Alan, congratulations,
you.
Alan.
Thank you. I tell you what, Andy, I've got multiple lions here for multiple guests.
Oh,
let's each get a lion.
Oh.
Okay, all right. Lion is fine.
I want a tigress.
No, thank
that,
you.
That lion.
But this lion's missing a foot. Can I have one with a foot?
Oh, you want one with a foot. Picky.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you win and you want...
How about the little lion baby?
Oh, that's so cute. I like that one.
He's all still covered in his mother's...
Yeah, he's really pretty. He's all covered in blood.
Yeah.
He's sweet.
That was Radio Boggle. Theme
Radio
music.
Radio Boggle.
That was great.
So, I think this is a great time to take some Twitter questions about animation. What do you think, Alan?
I think it's a great idea.
Andy, you ready for this?
Not
this
really,
sound like
but
idea?
That's okay.
It's okay. Well, let's bring in the theme music for Twitter questions.
Good.
Okay, Alan, take it away.
Yeah.
What do we have?
Okay, well, our first question comes from Roberto. He asks, what's a good way to smooth the frames of claymation when captured frame by frame on a digital camera, one that isn't expensive or high-end? Hmm. The best I can come up with is using just Premiere or Final Cut to repeat frames 3 times, then speed it up so they run 2 times, which creates a slight blur. Does anybody have any suggestions for this?
Go, Joel. You have the best answer.
I think I do.
Joel
I think,
has a good idea.
Well, one thing you could do is take that one clip, make a copy of it, put that clip above it in Final Cut Pro onto Video 2 Layer, change the opacity down to maybe 40% and offset it by 1 frame. Therefore, you'll have a slight ghosting trail as you go from your footage of the real frame to the first frame to the second frame of a ghosting middle frame. And you might have to tweak that a little bit, but that should work.
Maybe offsetting it by half a frame
or offsetting it by two.
Or
actually,
two,
you could take another copy and put it on video 3 and change that opacity down to maybe 20%, so you have 3 different layers of that happening. And
right.
You can use that just for when you want the motion blur.
Right. Mm-hmm. You could also add motion blur in After Effects, or there's also just, you can put just a master blur on the whole thing, so that it, I know that when we were doing, when we do Flash animation for broadcast, typically one of the things we do is we put a master blur on the whole thing so that the edges don't look so crisp coming out of, you know, vector-based flash. So it looks a little softer.
And master blur might be a great name for a breakdancer.
Or a metal band.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you might just want to shoot more frames, too.
Or you could always shoot more frames.
An owner who moves very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do one more question, which is a fun one. This one from Robbie. The question is, if you could be any cartoon character you wanted to be, what would you choose?
Okay.
I would like to be Nanny's legs from Muppet Babies.
That makes total sense to me.
Yeah, because I have good calves.
You do. Mm-hmm. You've got like runner's calves.
And green knee highs.
And you do. Mm. Yeah, you wear those a lot.
I mean, I do need the garter support
for
them. They slip down otherwise.
Right.
But, Andy, what do you think?
I think I'd like to be Beavis.
Beavis, that's a good one, yeah.
Yeah, or maybe Butthead. I don't know. I forgot the difference between the two of them, but yeah.
One's blonde, one's brunette.
Oh, okay. All right, I'll be the brunette dude.
All right. Who would I be? Who would I want to... I think I'd want to be Daffy Duck.
And why is that?
Because if I got shot in the face, my bill would just spin around my head and I would never die.
And I'm sure that would make you laugh, too.
And it would. It'd be fun.
And sometimes you'd be laughing out the back of your head.
Yeah. Yeah. Because then I could move my mouth anywhere I wanted on my head.
And if there was a spread of food set up in a circle...
If it was behind me...
Yeah.
I could just lean back. Just move my mouth around to the back of my head, lean back, and eat.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Great.
That was easy. Yeah.
Should we take one more, or do we have time? Computer, do we have time? Wait. Computer? Computer saying one more.
One more.
All right. Here's the last one.
All right. Let's do it.
This one from Yashna. How do you stay up to date in the field of animation in terms of what programs you should know, knowing about resources, other local animators, et cetera, et cetera?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
That's easy.
Andy?
Smoke a lot of pot and don't learn any new programs and just teach and become outdated. It's really easy.
That's really
cynical. It's awful. I should be more...
I would say in addition to that, perhaps, I would look first, we're just talking about the Academy Awards, at what wins that, or what's nominated that year for animation, and just start there. If you know nothing about animation, start there. And see and try to find those films online and take a look at those films. And then, I mean, using the internet as a resource, maybe see what are similar films to that. See what techniques people are using and start looking at it that way. And another great way, if you can do it, is to go to an animation festival.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Somewhere in the world and be exposed to it. There's one in Canada every year.
Right, because in the fall. Not only will you be really inspired, but you'll also meet a lot of other filmmakers and then, you know, forge relationships that way,
which is really important, I agree. Or join a CIFA East
and
get to know people. And if you're a student,
or a CIFA West.
Internships are really great, a CIFA West, wherever you are, you know, meet those people. South. You know, I think the best way is to actually just go work in a place at whatever level, even if it's just a grunt servant bringing coffee back and forth. I don't know.
Right.
You know Alan?
Yes, sir.
Alan?
Yeah.
And Yashna?
Yeah.
And Andy? Yeah. And Tony?
Yeah.
World. Perhaps.
What about the world?
Hopefully, listening to our podcast might be a way. And absolutely. Also, people can go to our website, which is ffaf.com, Friends of Foreman Animation Forum, and... Alan and I there, it may not be up yet, but we will have how we work on there and little how-tos and things like that, and you can always email us or invite us to come, and we'll do presentations.
Yeah.
We can do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Andy, would you like to plug any websites, things that you're doing?
Sure.
Let us know. Where can we find your work?
I am thebest.com. It's really easy to find.
That'd be awesome.
IAMBEST. No. Actually, you can go to londonsquared.net because you were too late for .com.
Dope. And yeah, doesn't that suck? And we're London squared because it's my wife and me. So Andy and Carolyn is the square root. That's so London squared, all spelled out.
And with that, I would like to thank Andy for stopping by. I know you're off for another gig.
Yes, I'm off to make pizzas for a party my wife is throwing with me tonight. I'm in charge of pizza. We're making onion pizza with sausage and no cheese because she's on an anti-cheese diet.
Mm, sounds delicious. Sounds
great. Yeah.
Delicious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sounds great.
A tomato bread. Anyway, thank you.
You're welcome.
And I'm sure we'll be talking to you again.
In this closet.
On our podcast.
Probably in this closet, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for coming in. Andy London, everybody. Andy London.
Thank you.
All right, thank
claps,
you.
Claps. Let's do it. Bye. Well, Alan, that went well.
Yeah, that was great.
How could it not go well? It's Andy.
He's great
guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a treat for everyone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You mentioned this at the top of the show. I want to hear about this treat because I don't know what it is.
I have a treat for everyone. This is a special recorded live experience.
Oh, yeah.
And it was an experience.
Yeah.
Kind of like a laser light show, but just us talking, no lasers, and about animation.
Right. So it's kind of like Jimi Hendrix, Are You Experienced, without the Jimi Hendrix.
Right. And this was just as exciting, though, in a way. Well, we were on a trip.
We went on it. Well, we didn't go on the trip together, but we were at the destination together.
At nearly the same time, if off by a day.
Right.
This was the Ottawa International Animation Festival 2009.
Well, maybe you should explain a little bit to people who don't know what this is, what it is. What is the Ottawa International Animation Festival?
Mm-hmm. Well,
I guess the name kind of gives it away.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's descriptive.
Yeah.
But maybe to give you an insight into this whole world.
Yeah.
This whole world.
Yeah.
Maybe we've mentioned this a little bit before, but
Bring us in. Bring us into the world.
Here I am. I'm coming in right now. Right.
Okay.
You ready? You see me.
I see you.
Okay. Now, the world has international animation festivals happening all throughout the year.
All over the world.
France has one. Mm-hmm. That's the Annecy Animation Festival. Holland has one. Hiroshima has one. Mm-hmm. It goes on and on. There are a dozen major animation-only international festivals. Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, also has one every fall. And we went there.
We went there this past fall.
We went to see new work, independent work, some studio stuff, some features. What's great about these festivals is that you go there and not only do you see great work, you get to meet the filmmakers directly.
Right.
It's a great educational experience, very direct. You can ask them questions about why they make their work, how they made it. You can possibly talk about collaborative pieces. Things like that. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity to meet new filmmakers as well as reconnect with people that you've met at previous festivals or know through other job situations.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe you've lost touch with each other, haven't seen each other in a long time, so you can reconnect with these people and forge new relationships and get your work seen by a lot of people and see a lot of new and exciting things that are really inspiring.
And one thing that's really inspiring, and it's set up to celebrate the fact that we're all together at these festivals, because really a lot of the animation work that you're doing most of the time is solitary.
Yeah.
Even in a studio, a lot of people have headphones on.
Right.
They're kind of tuning out. They have to concentrate. It's a lot of concentration. If you're making your own independent film, it's a lot of times in your own studio by yourself. So now you come to the big stage.
It's like being let out of prison.
It is. It's freedom.
Right.
Absolute freedom. They go a step further at all of these international animation festivals, and they provide, after every screening, at night, a major international animation party.
Party.
Every night. And some of these festivals are a week long, some are 5 days. There is a international animation party every night.
Every night.
Now, Alan.
Yes, sir.
It is my esteemed pleasure to say
yes.
to be here with you.
Yes.
Because you are something of a fixture.
I'm a party legend.
In the international animation party world.
Yes. And on that circuit, I'm a god.
It is a lofty circuit.
It is.
It's kind of like those old transistor ones.
It is.
Gigantic.
Yeah.
And you, at all of these parties, always have interesting adventures.
Yeah.
That happen.
I like to make it more than just a party. And because I want to take advantage of everything that there is.
You want to make it a holy, just a party.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you bring people in. You embrace, Alan.
Bring people together.
You comfort.
Yeah.
You're like a Linus blanket.
I am. I'm kind of like a whoopee.
Yeah. Binky.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, and that's what I tried to do this year at Ottawa. I wanted to be everybody's Binky.
And I think you succeeded.
I think, maybe I won a couple nights. Yeah.
I say just showing up. You won. Now,
For
a lot of people, that's harder to do. For you, it just will comes place natural. The medal upon your lapel.
Yeah.
Now, we have the treat.
All right. What is this treat?
Earlier.
Yeah.
It is a recording done at Ottawa.
That's right.
Live, recorded live a long time ago at Ottawa of Alan giving his international party animation party recap of the Ottawa International Festival. So, without further ado, should we just let's hear it. Before we're talking about your party recap,
my live recap,
which is French and English for what?
The Ottawa International Animation Festival party recap.
Okay.
All right, so here we go.
Wait, cue the theme music.
All right.
Yeah.
Good, right? You like it?
Holy crap, let's move. Wait. Okay, and go ahead.
All right, so on Wednesday, October 14th, was the opening night party. The opening night party was held at a restaurant I don't remember the name of because I was there till almost 4 in the morning. It was a lot of fun, some free drinks, some drinks you had to pay for, some free food that was in really small portions, so it looked fancier, but it didn't mean it was fancier. There were a lot of filmmakers there. There were a lot of people from networks and studios there. I was there until the bar closed, and I stumbled home down Rideau Street to my hotel, which is in the slums in Ottawa. Then on Thursday, October 15th, was the Salon des Refusés, which is French for pass holders only, according to this thing that I scribbled down in the middle of the night. It was kind of like an underground alternative gallery space with a little bar and a room where they had screenings of all the films that didn't get in to the festival. But the funny thing about it was that there was even a process of selection for the films that got rejected. So there are still some films that didn't make it into the rejected showcase. So there are films that got double rejected, which I think means in the world of physics, they never actually existed to begin with.
Don't you think they would maybe have an alternative name to Salon of Refuse, perhaps?
No, well, I think you're just taking literally what the French words
that's
are.
That's not how it
That's not
it
what
translates.
It means. It means pass holders only. It says so right here.
Oh, that's sweet. That's
in
very
the book,
sweet.
See right there, it says.
That means you would never see these films unless you came
unless
here.
Unless you came here, right. And then on Friday.
Wait. Sorry. I think, as I recall now, I know you are the international animation party expert.
Yeah.
But
what I have
At that particular party,
yeah,
there was a fixture in the room that was hard to.
I hadn't gotten to it yet.
Oh, crap,
I was still
my
talking
balls.
About
okay,
it.
Keep going.
So it was an underground gallery, kind of an alternative space where they were projecting all the films that didn't make it into the competition. Well, not all of them. Some of them didn't even make it into the rejected compilation, which is kind of shitty. But in the gallery was a, 8 foot tall sculpture that was made out of what appeared to be orange shag carpeting of a giant overweight woman with a huge ass holding up the ceiling, and she also had a big furry vagina. It was like some kind of weird goddess thing, and there was a guy walking around it keeping a perimeter who yelled at me for getting within a foot of it because I wanted to touch her butt because it looked fuzzy.
It was
nice.
Soft.
Did you touch it?
I could feel it with my eyes.
Yeah, you could feel it with
your eyes.
It
was the type of thing that you can feel with your eyes. I when I looked at that, I said, mother.
Yeah, I mean,
it felt felt like Eve.
It did feel like Eve. Like,
and then when I felt it, it really felt like Eve.
She was the first woman.
Yeah. What a pelt.
What? Yeah. Could say that again.
Yeah.
All right. Flash forward to Friday, October 16th. Salon des Refusés Part 2, but we didn't go to that.
Yeah. Lame.
Stupid. I mean, who wants
to go? What were we doing? Eating?
Who wants to go watch, like, movies that didn't make it in? So we went instead to...
We could never passes. So
yeah, we couldn't get in.
It was the show of Passholders only.
We went to a whiskey
bar.
Wait,
does that mean that they just to get back to that for a second, do they show people just showing their passes? Like, is it just or people just walk out, like, the pass holders only? That is what you will see, pass holders only.
Like, you only get to hang out with pass holders there.
Well, it's maybe a salon of pass holders only. There's nothing else there. It's
like
just
the plastic thing that goes around the necklace.
They don't have to have their pass. They have to be holding it. But you're seeing the pass. Or is the lanyard a pass holder?
No.
The thing you wear around your neck, it holds the pass. Is it just a show of string?
No, it's the plastic thing. Not the necklace part.
Covering.
It's just the plastic cover that actually holds the pass. So it's just those stapled to the wall.
At what event horizon does the pass cease to be a pass and become a pass holder?
When it gains consciousness.
So you're saying...
Self-consciousness.
So you're saying plastic, no consciousness, printed paper that says anima pass, consciousness.
Exactly.
And you know, if you look at the derivation of anima pass, that's what the official term is here for those.
Why is it called that?
Well, anima means spirit and life. Ooh. Life pass, sentient being,
sentient
conscious.
Pass. I got you.
Day four.
Actually, we're on day three.
Day three.
October 16th. We skip the Salon des Refusés. We go straight to the whiskey bar. And we had whiskeys. We were going to be meeting up with some folks from New York, some animator folks from New York. And they were not allowed into the bar we were in because it was too full. Too many people there to see the Dave Matthews of Gaelic solo guitar playing. And then we moved on to another bar where everybody was drinking, and that was, I forget the name of the bar. Looks, no, it was the Hilf, the Puff, the Piff.
It was the Pilf.
The Pilf, whatever the hell it was. The Milf. It was just like a bar. The Puff, Puffy. The Piff, the Piff. I don't remember what the hell the name of the thing was, but we went there and we had some beers. We chatted with our friend Linda Beck, who we were talking about earlier, and her husband Jeremy. And then we went home to our hotel room at Ottawa's branch of Hotel Argentina. And then Saturday, October 17th, day four.
This is exciting. This is my favorite one.
That night, after the screenings, was the Saturday night party, which was for pass holders only. And it was held at the exclusive Parliament Ultra Club, which it used to be a Parliament cigarette factory. No, it used to be a Parliament cigarette factory, and they converted it. And now they renovated it. It's built completely out of Parliament cigarette packs, empty packs of Parliament cigarettes, and Parliament cigarette butts, and peanut butter.
And the acoustics were awful.
Well, right after the screening, we're told to go there. That's where the after party is. The big, you know, Saturday night party at the festival, because a lot of people leave on Sunday and don't stick around to the closing night party. We go there, and they're not letting people in. Even though it's party time. As listed in my companion booklet, which I have right here, 11 p.m. it says. 11 p.m., start of the party.
Is there anything in parentheses there?
Well, it was pass holders only.
Okay. Now, that seems to be a common translation of a lot of the English in this book.
That's pretty much
everything. And we're French.
That's everything in here is pass holders only. I don't know what... I think it's like some kind of body snatchers, children of the corn, one of us kind of thing.
Okay.
We get to this Parliament Ultra Club. I don't understand the necessity of putting ultra into the word. But anyway, we get there and it's not
before
open.
Before was it kind of just the
It was
the
just Parliament Club. And I guess the ultra made it fun more.
The ultra hip
made it
not
ultra.
Go.
Yeah.
So now they're invited.
Yeah, the ultra was what attracted the teenagers. And that's what they really want. So we get to the club. It's not open. They're not letting anybody in. It's freezing cold outside. All I had was my robe from the hotel. And we're waiting in line for literally half an hour or more with a couple of folks, with Gene Fowler and Mike Kincannon from Canada.
Who we interviewed?
Gene we interviewed. Mike we did not interview, but he's a friend of theirs and colleague. And we're waiting there for half an hour, freezing cold. Hotel robe is all I have. A woman from the festival, one of their volunteers, starts walking down the line, making sure everybody has their pass holders, the little plastic things.
So the ones that
holds
are
the
not
pass.
Sentient.
The non-sentient pass holder. And we all have to have a photo identification because they'll be carding at the door, even though it says nothing about that in the handbook.
It only says pass holders only.
That's all you need.
That doesn't mean... Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to get ahead of you. But keep going.
Anyway.
There's more to the story.
So we're walking in, and we're told that there's a mandatory coat check. You can't just walk in with your coat. You have to check your coat. Now, I don't know if the people who own the Parliament Ultra Club knew that they were hosting a party.
It seemed to me that they hated that we were there. Almost, they were called to work out of a deep sleep.
They didn't want our money.
They did. They detested the fact that we existed, the entire lot of us.
And they didn't realize that an animation festival, which is attended by hundreds of people, had booked a big party there. For hundreds of animators.
For hundreds. And
so we start going in, mandatory coat check. I failed to mention I had my bag with me full of condoms and sketchbooks. And get in there and we're forced...
Because you like to hand those out.
I do. And I'm forced to check my bag. And they say no bags. And I'm forced to check my hotel robe because they considered that a coat.
It's not a coat.
I told them that. I said it's not... It's terry
a
cloth,
robe.
Folks. Terry cloth. And I get... As soon as I walk up to the table... And you were with me. You were right next to me at that point. The guy behind the coat check yells to his boss, "We're full. I can't take any more bags. I can't take any bags. It's full up back here."
I think you said it in French, and I thought he just was saying pass holders only over and over again.
No. He said it in French and then repeated it in English.
Oh, okay.
Well, no. The thing is, he said it in French, and I read his subtitle.
Right.
You should
explain that when you're in a bilingual country...
Everything's subtitled.
So as it's being spoken, the subtitles appear across the bottom. Just say across the bottom.
Just on the bottom of the screen.
Near the bottom.
Yeah. And I had to check my robe and my bag, and we got in there, and the interior of the place looks like Scarface's Basement Disco. I mean, it was just mirrors and black lights and blue lighting and really...
And kind of weird orgy couches.
Cheesy orgy couches that smelled a little bit like...
Like cheese.
Like crotch fumes.
Yeah.
Like sex dust.
There's nothing worse than that in the crack.
Oh, just,
wow.
I don't like sex dust.
Wow. Alan is getting rehydrated. Ooh. He can barely even take...
I'm exhausted just from listening to that.
Listening to yourself recap.
Yeah.
Well, that was fun.
That was a lot
of fun. There's more. We recorded days worth of footage.
Yeah, and over the course of these episodes that we put out, we'll sprinkle little bits of our field recordings from Ottawa.
And it's interesting at Ottawa because we're there for 5 days, yeah, but we have 7 days worth of audio that we're recording.
It's amazing. Yeah, we recorded a lot of material.
Above and beyond.
Yeah.
Alan.
Yes, Joel.
Will you join me and all of us next week?
I would be honored.
For another Frenzer Forman Animation Forum.
I would love to. My name's in the title. I got to be there.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Just like to thank Andy London.
Andy London, thank you very much.
Also, the good people of Ottawa, Ontario.
Thank you, the people of Ottawa, for hosting us.
Be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. I'll see you next week.
Check us out on Animation World Network, AWN.com, and also Frenzer Forman Animation Forum, FFAF.com. See you next week.
All right.
Claps.
Claps.
Claps. Claps. Claps. Claps.